King Indra said, O Supreme Lord, you are our deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifices, which are actually yours, have been recovered from the demon by you. Because the demoniac king, Hiranyakashipu, was most fearsome, our hearts, which are your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now, by your presence, the gloom and darkness in our hearts have been dissipated. O Lord, for those who always engage in your service, which is more exalted than liberation, all material opulence is insignificant. They do not even care for liberation, not to speak of the benefits of karma, artha, and dharma. Purport. In this material world, there are two kinds of people, the devatas, demigods, and the asuras, demons. Although the demigods are attached to material enjoyment, they are devotees of Lord, of the Lord, who get who act according to the rules and regulations of the Vedic injunctions. During the reign of Hiranyakashipu, everyone was disturbed in the routine duties of Vedic civilization. When Hiranyakashipu was killed, all the demigods who had always been disturbed by Hiranyakashipu felt relief in their general way of life. Because the government in Kali Yuga is full of demons, the living condition of devotees are always disturbed. Devotees cannot perform yajna, and thus they cannot partake of the remnants of food offered in yajna for the worship of Lord Vishnu. The hearts of the demigods are always filled with fear of the demons, and therefore they cannot think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The engagement of the demigods is to think of the Lord always within the cause of their hearts. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shadhavan bhajate yomam samayuktatamomataha. And of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The demigods fully absorb themselves in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become perfect yogis, but because of the presence of demons, their hearts are filled with the activities of the demons. Thus their hearts, which are meant to be the abode of the Supreme Lord, are practically occupied by the demons. All the demigods felt relieved when Hiranyakashipu was dead, for they could easily think of the Lord. They could then receive the results of sacrifices and become happy, even though in the material world. Devotees are supposed to always think of Krishna. That's the definition of a devotee. Krishna is in their heart. Krishna is in everyone's heart, but Krishna himself says that sadavo hridayo mahyam sadunam hridayam tvaham madanyate na jananti naham tevyo manadapi. That saints are in my heart. Sadhus means devotees. And I am in their heart because they know nothing but me and I know nothing but them. However, when there is a demon like Hiranyakashipu around, it can become more difficult to think of Krishna. When you say a demon like Hiranyakashipu, well, you generally won't get demons of the caliber of Hiranyakashipu. However much they try, certain people, they adopt the demoniac dress and they deliberately try to be like demons. Right? And years ago, it was Hell's Angels, and you still see them riding around in California, like 65-year-old Hell's Angels. And I guess they don't have too long to go before they actually go to hell. And all kinds of things came after that, which I'm not so much aware of, because by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, I got out of this hell and went to India instead, which is for all the, in many ways, quite successful attempts to turn it into hell, it is still a land where it's a lot more easier naturally to remember Krishna than here. So anyway, what I'm saying is that there are many demons around in the world today, but they're not, some are deliberately trying to be like demons. Others are more suave and sophisticated. But they're not like Hiranyakashipu. They're not as fierce or intense. Of course, in recent history, Saddam Hussein has been killed. Osama bin Laden has been killed. So it told. I don't know if I saw any body. You never know. He might still be alive. And they're advertised as great demons by another set of demons. But still, for all their demoniac activities, they're not as big-time demons as Hiranyakashipu. But it's the same spirit. Probably most of us are not big-time devotees like Prahlad either. So it's the same point is there. That when there are demons, it may be that demons in control of the administration, then for some devotees, those who are very dedicated, it may be a chance to be more Krishna conscious. As devotees who are preaching in the USSR, in the days before good old Gorbachev, when to be a devotee, especially the time just before him, was quite intense. It's a very heavy period for the devotees. And devotees from that era, they remember that actually, even though we knew nothing hardly about Krishna consciousness, we had very little access to devotees. The books of Prabhupada that we had were very few and they were very badly translated. Just like for Lord Krishna, it was translated like Lord, like a British Lord. So it gave the impression that Krishna was something like a British squire, something like that. So they're so badly trained. But still, the devotees had such a spirit to preach and literally risk their lives. So they got a lot of mercy in spreading Krishna consciousness. Whereas later, things relaxed, and with relaxation came relaxation of the pressure of the demons, also came relaxation of the efforts to spread. Well, to be Krishna conscious, the pressure can actually be very good if one can take it. But then others, they didn't want to take it. It was too much. They didn't want to be Krishna conscious because it was too much risk. Now, in the case of the demigods, what we can imagine, the demigods under Hiranyakashipu, they had to go along with the Hiranyakashipu administration. They had to humor him. If he told them to bow down and kiss his feet, they'd have to do it. No matter how humiliating it was, because they'd rather put their head at his feet rather than lose their head, which would be the consequence of not doing what he said. So they would have to pretend that they liked Hiranyakashipu, and they would have to go along with the demoniac way of life. So, in this, by following this culture, obviously it became more and more difficult to remember Krishna. Not that the demigods are that concerned with remembering Krishna, but they do from time to time, especially when they get in trouble. But it wasn't that Hiranyakashipu was immediately removed. He was reigning for quite some time. Sometimes people ask that, well, if yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijami ham. Where is he? There's so much adharma in the world, and he says, Krishna says he'll come whenever there is an uprising of adharma. Well, where is he? Well, he takes a little time. He lets things follow their due course. Everything has a purpose. Hiranyakashipu has a purpose also. The demons in the world, they also have a purpose to torture each other, give each other their due deserved suffering. And the demons also especially Hiranyakashipu, of that caliber. They serve to show the greatness of Krishna, inasmuch as only Krishna could kill him. No one else could kill him. So that shows the greatness of Krishna, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that in the Satya Yuga, Hiranyakashipu served the purpose of devotional service more than did Prahlad. Typical Bhaktisiddhanta statement, isn't it? It's always unexpected. So, the demigods, they, by association with the demoniac culture, we can imagine that they were becoming more and more demoniac, actually, because if you repeatedly say something, then you start to believe it. And you might be so afraid that even within your heart, you start to think like that, being afraid that at some moment of indiscretion, what you actually think might pop out. That often happens when people get drunk, right? That what they actually think comes out. They keep up a facade of acting and thinking in some way, but it may come out that they may say to their boss, actually, I hate your intestines, hate your guts. Something like this. And then they lose their job or whatever. So the demigods, they may be afraid even to say even to think what they should think. And in this way, their hearts actually become occupied by the demons, by Hiranyakashipu. Because they're so afraid of him, they think about him more than they do then of Krishna. So there's a lesson to be learned there. As I was saying, India, even today, despite its trying to follow the West in so many ways, still the atmosphere is still so much more favorable for cultivating Krishna consciousness than other countries. That can change also. It's just like much of India is now Pakistan. That was for the Sindhu River is still flowing, but there are no rishis on the banks of the river anymore. The Vedic, what to speak previously, the Afghanistan, that was all Vedic culture. The whole world was Vedic culture, but especially the land of those sacred rivers in between. What is that? Ahimachal Setu Bandha. From the Himalayas to Setu Bandha in South India. That is sacred land, but it's already chopped off. And in the eastern side, Bangladesh, still there are many devotees chanting Hare Krishna, but it's dominated by a culture of people who are not chanting Hare Krishna. And gradually it's reducing now. So Nagaland in the northeast is completely Christian. And in this way, in Kali Yuga, all the good things shrink. So India is also shrinking. So for those who are in the demoniac culture, it's more difficult for them to think of Krishna. The demoniac culture fosters different beliefs, values, modes of behavior. And if one is living among demons, then he's likely to become a demon. This sangat sanjayate kamaha. One's desires arise due to one's association. As Srila Prabhupada writes here, and of course that's from Bhagavad Gita, Dosarge, what is that? Lokesmin, Daiva Asura Evacha. There are two kinds of people in the world, the godly and the ungodly, or the godly, or as Srila Prabhupada translates it, more more succinctly, demons, more pointedly. The godly and the demons. So, the modern world is dominated by demons. Not big demons like Hiranyakashipu, but demons nevertheless. As Srila Prabhupada points out here, the government in Kali Yuga is full of demons. So, it might not seem like that. I mean, the usage, the way Srila Prabhupada uses this word is somewhat unusual compared to standard English usage, because demon, in standard English usage, that conjures up an image of a satanic figure with maybe fangs and claws and a nasty look, whereas the government people, I saw on the TV screen in the airport a few days ago, the live broadcasting from the House of Commons, they all look completely fried. They're all sitting like this, like they're being tortured or something. They just look completely exactly from Bhagavad Gita. Chinta makari mayam cha. The demons are always full of anxiety. So, but I mean, presumably they're urbane people who, you know, they don't go out at midnight and try and find someone and to sink their fangs into the necks of people and drink their blood. They're not demons in that way. But they're demons in as much as they promote or endorse meat eating, gambling, illicit sex and intoxication, and a mode of life that is based on sense gratification rather than self-realization. So in that way, they are demons. And this is the culture that devotees in the Western world are living among. So, what do we do? Should we be like Indra or like Prahlad? In some ways it's easier to be like Indra. The only thing is, you lose your Krishna consciousness. If you're like Prahlad, he was way ahead of Mahatma Gandhi in non-violent non-cooperation. That he didn't form an army, a children's crusade against Hiranyakashipu, but he defied him. When Hiranyakashipu called him, Prahlad said, Hiranyakashipu asked, "What is the best thing you have learned?" expecting to hear his son speaking in a lisped voice say, "Sama Bheda Dana Danda," the principles of politics which Shanda and Amarka, his teachers, were teaching him. That pacificate with political opponents, you try to pacify them. Otherwise, divide and rule. If that doesn't work, give them a post. Bring them into your own administration. Make them give, you know, pay them off. If that doesn't work, smash them. So these are the principles of politics. But Prahlad, he replied in a manner which Hiranyakashipu didn't like at all. He said, "Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivetanam, Itipung Sarpita, Vishnu, Bhaktischainavalakshana." That these are these principles, the nine principles of bhakti. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, Vishnu, serving his lotus feet, worshipping him in the temple, praying to him, identifying oneself as his servant, identifying oneself as his friend, and fully surrendering to him. These nine principles, this is the best education, this is the best thing that I have learned. So Hiranyakashipu didn't like that. And as a result, Prahlada had to undergo many difficulties. He didn't feel them as difficulties, but Hiranyakashipu, when he came in contact with Prahlad's non-cooperation, he reacted in a demoniac manner. And tried to kill Prahlad in various ways. He gave him a second chance, but only one extra chance, and then he tried to kill him. And because of that, because of Prahlad's pure devotion, Nrisimhadeva appeared. Not because of Indra, not because of any of the demigods. Indra chose non-violent cooperation and was compromised. Prahlad chose non-violent non-cooperation and he remained a devotee despite all difficulty. Now, in a demoniac situation, it's easier to have non-violent cooperation. That you let us do some things, and just like in the modern setup, the modern world, in this country, there are certain rights accorded to individuals, and you can, by exercising your rights, you can get things, you can get some position. Just like for several years, there was moves supported by government leaders to close down this temple. But devotees leveraged support from their congregation, and in the end the government capitulated and some compromise was made, and the temple is still open. So devotees worked within the system to get what are considered to be rights. And the government of this country, it's called a free country. It's considered to be a free country. That, because there are certain freedoms allowed. Not unlimited freedom, and so I understand less than there used to be. That the right to congregation has been taken away. That I was just told this yesterday, that if you bring like more than five or six people together, then it's illegal. Because of the rave parties, was it, is that what it's called? Some years ago. Anyway, I was told that you have to have permission if you want to have groups coming together in public. So there are certain rights, and it appears to make sense to work within the system, which allows us, for instance, to have Harinam Sankirtan parties, and Rath Yatras, and Bhaktivedanta Mana, and book distribution. It used to be. Book distribution in London used to mean regularly getting arrested. That was one of my first services, going to the court. It was a harassment, that they would arrest devotees, and then half your day would go, and then the next day you'd have to go to court and pay a £5 fine, like that. £5 in those days, I guess, was something like £50 now. So I used to go to court to save the more expert book distributors. Is your name so and so? Yes. And the next day, someone else's name? Yes. And like that. They didn't look too closely. They didn't bother. So nowadays, police don't bother with that. They let devotees on Oxford Street just so. There are certain advantages with going along with the system. And even there's Diwali is celebrated in the House of Commons. Is that organized by ISKCON or it's the Indian community in general? All the Hindus together, is it? Is it? Yeah. And we go along with the Hindus. So, there are certain advantages to working with the system. But at the same time, we have to be very careful not to become too comfortable with that sense of acceptance. And understand that although in some ways you could say the ideas are good, and it's not, they're not totally demoniac in the sense that Hiranyakashipu is. I mean, there are behind the spirit of liberty and democracy, there may be something good there. Of course, democracy, Srila Prabhupada called it demon crazy. And that originally came about not because of any the beginnings of democracy in England, as all of you who went to school in England probably know, began with Magna Carta, began not the idea that everyone should have equal rights by any means, but that the various nobles, they wanted a say in the government without the king just doing whatever he liked. And gradually the franchise for voting, franchise didn't used to mean McDonald's, it used to mean voting rights. So that was expanded gradually to include more people, and then all men, and gradually the women got the vote also. And you never know, they might extend it to children and even to cats and dogs eventually. So, but it wasn't originally a humanistic or altruistic idea. It was just for the sake of different people wanted power, that's all. They wanted their share of power. So the idea might be good. In France, the French Revolution, which much influenced the American Revolution, with the principles of, what is that, égalité, fraternité, liberté, all these kind of things. So there may be some good idea that, you know, everyone has rights. Of course, although democracy is considered practically sacred by the United Nations, practically, and they don't like the idea of dictatorship. That's considered a very bad system. But as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, it's natural that the strong dominate the weak. So whatever system there is, communism or democracy or whatever it is, the strong are going to dominate the weak. It's always going to be there. And if the strong is not a strong kshatriya, then it's going to be someone who by money power, strength in the modern age means by money. And by money they control the mass media and the education system. And so anyway, people are being controlled. But in many ways it's more subtle than in previous ages. And previously there was quite a clear hierarchy. But in the modern age, hierarchy is considered something wrong, although it's natural. It's considered that, well, everyone should be equal, although it's never going to happen that everyone's equal. So in previous times there was a king, whether a demon like Hiranyakashipu or a devotee like Indra, and it was very, very clear, and the king was respected, supposed to be respected. Nowadays, you're not sure really who's pulling the strings, and it's in subtle ways. But to a large extent, we can't control what the children are taught. There's this heavy pressure. You must get your children educated. It's wrong if you don't get them educated. You're depriving them. They're sent to school to get programmed in the demoniac way of life. And if you don't have a TV, you're depriving your children. So in this way, there's this heavy social pressure to socialize everyone to go along with a system which is basically demoniac, because it's not Krishna conscious. It doesn't lead people toward the goal of life. It doesn't teach people the difference between right and wrong. They have no idea. If one child gets killed, they become a big thing in the newspaper. But then daily they're killing literally millions of cows, pigs, chickens, and so on. And they don't think that this is horrible. It's not fair. The animals don't have any rights. And they promote, in the name of free expression, and artistic expression, they promote pornography, and in the name of aiding women, they promote what Srila Prabhupada termed as prostitution. It means that men and women can just all mix up without any responsibility, and it's illegal to get married before, 16 or something like that, although it's considered quite normal for girls to have children at age 14. So they're a confused bunch. Most charitably we could call them confused, or as Srila Prabhupada more accurately put it, demoniac, actually. So like I said, it might not seem that the people are demoniac. They don't have horns coming out of their head yet, although you never know with all this genetically modified food, it might start actually happening quite soon. That's another thing. It's completely demoniac. Interestingly, just to give an example, in case you don't know, it's well known that Bill Gates has become a great altruist, right? He stopped earning lots of money and instead he's just doing his charities and he's concentrating on Africa. And his trust is advising the government how to produce more food, although Africa always used to produce enough food for all its people until it came in contact with the Western countries. Now they import food. So you have to streamline your farming systems and have modern systems of farming, and guess what? Bill Gates is 12% owns Monsanto. So his trust is encouraging, it's actually for business, that's all. And they're encouraging the governments to take this disastrous line which spoils the economy, spoils the crops, spoils the soil, spoils the seeds. It's demoniac. But it's clothed in the guise of altruism. So, yeah, we should be careful that we don't let the demons enter our hearts. Don't be fooled by all of this. It's very powerful. The demoniac propaganda is very powerful. Just like in the Western world, there's this general feeling that Muslims are all terrorists and demons, but in the Muslim world, they think the Americans and British, they're all terrorists and demons because they invade our countries. And so, who's the actual demon? Actually, they're both sides, because they're all killing animals, and they're the horrible things that they're doing to each other. I mean, it's not just that there happen to be some Muslims who are terrorists, and then there are governments who go in and bomb others and kill them in the name of, we're giving you democracy. And they would have probably preferred to have Saddam Hussein and remained alive rather than have democracy and be bombed all the time. But what was I saying? Lost the point. Yeah, the propaganda is there that democracy is very good, we are very good, we're benefiting others. So if we read all this stuff, we subject ourselves to this, then we think that these people are very bad and our people are very good. But actually we should see with the eye of Shastra. Srila Prabhupada explained that he said, just like in our class at school, if two boys were badly behaving, the teacher would pull them out and stand them in front of the class and they'd have to pull each other's ears. And the teacher would say, pull harder, pull harder. And so they'd punish each other. So Srila Prabhupada said like that, the demons, Maya arranges that the demons, they punish each other. And by propaganda, they make you think, actually, we are good. Democracy is good. We are actually good people, and they're not good people, and we invaded them to help them to become good, so they can get the benefits of our good way of life. You see that? So that's the idea. They say, actually, we invaded all these countries, but they don't. There are so many countries which there may be so many problems, but they don't invade. They only invade those which have certain geopolitical importance to them. So we should not be fooled by this propaganda or think that because people smile and they dress in suits and ties that they are not demoniac. That doesn't mean that we reject them or that we try or that we don't try to uplift them to Krishna consciousness. But we should be very careful about going along with the values of this demoniac society. Srila Prabhupada, as he taught us, the Vedic version, I mean, practically everything, almost everything Prabhupada taught goes against practically everything that is taught in the schools, through the media, through the cultural system. We're against animal slaughter, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication. Srila Prabhupada said that they didn't go to the moon, that the women's liberation movement is bogus, modern education is bogus, that life doesn't end at death, so-called death, the scientists are rascals. What else? I mean, just read any page in Prabhupada's books and you'll find it just goes against everything. And if we are to accept the message of Shastra as presented by Srila Prabhupada, we can't become too chummy with this demoniac civilization, because it is coming from different perspectives and they don't mix. So that's the danger. You see, Indra, he admits now Nrisimhadeva has come, that Hiranyakashipu had overtaken our hearts. Out of fear, they're always thinking of him. The modern demoniac society is more subtle. Through the education, through the TV, through the advertisements, through the whole social pressure of cultural acclimatization, people think that if this is good. The British civilization, that's another one, the evolutionary theory. People just take it as evolution. No. We all evolved, you see. There were monkeys and then they became humans, and then the zenith point is the British civilization. And got nowadays all these Indians and blacks and Italians, and England's not what it used to be, but still, England's the best, and we have to. It's the same spirit that they used to. It's the same spirit that they used as an excuse to conquer India and all these places, that we're civilizing them, and they're still doing it, invading Iraq and Afghanistan with the MC. We have to help them to establish proper civilization. Same excuse. We know what is the best society, and you don't. And just to help you, we're going to invade you and bomb you and everything until you agree to do what we say. So it's actually demonic. Although they talk the language of humanitarianism, justice, they talk nice words. In that sense, Hitler was better. At least he was honest. At least he said, look, we're Germans and we're a bunch of, we're just going to kick you out of your country because might makes right. At least he was honest about it. But nowadays, in the name of justice, peace, humanity, that's why it's very dangerous, because it may seem that they're actually well-intentioned people, and they may even think themselves that they're well-intentioned, but they're not informed what the actual proper thing to do is. So, again, we don't reject anyone as being demoniac, and alright, if there are some good things in Western civilization, we can take that. As Srila Prabhupada said, that in many ways the Western civilization is good. He said it once, at least, as far as I know. Mostly he didn't say it was good. But he said there are arrangements for education, housing, and medical aid. So he said, these are good. But if you add Krishna consciousness, then it'll be perfect. So he admitted there are some good things. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada saw and pointed out to us that this society is basically demoniac. It's if you live the life of a normal, decent human being in Britain today, then you're a demon, according to Shastric perspective. It doesn't mean that we have to go out on the street and start shouting it to everyone. But at least for our own understanding, we should know that this society is a society which promotes non-Krishna consciousness, sense gratification as the goal of life. And we can see it's a highly disturbed society. People are not happy. Even materially, they're not happy. People are very confused. So we shouldn't be fooled by thinking that because people, they may be somewhat polite and this and that, but I'm sure among Hiranyakashipu's followers, they had, you know, there must have been some kind of social system also like that. So, yeah, don't be fooled by the demoniac society. Prahlad wasn't fooled. He remained fully Krishna conscious. So at the present time, the demoniac force is quite subtle, and the demons themselves, they may actually think that they're good people. So it's not as clear cut as in the time of Hiranyakashipu. So we ourselves shouldn't be influenced by that. Some of our devotees are. I can cite an instance that I arrived in Mayapur during the GBC meetings at the time that of the Kuwait war. That was 12 years ago, something like that. And I just arrived, and there's one of our GBC men from America. He was discussing this with some others, and he said, "We smashed them." Who smashed who? We? What is identifying himself with America and thinking that it's a good thing that American troops went in there? So, that's my point. We should be very careful not to identify with that which is, first of all, in the bodily concept of life, and not be sucked in to the whole modern culture. We're actually, Srila Prabhupada writes here about Vedic civilization. Srila Prabhupada's aim was to establish Vedic civilization. It's a massive task. It seems almost impossible to do. It's a lot easier just to go along with the modern way of life to a large extent. If we do that, they'll give us a little corner. You sit in a little corner, be a good dog, pat your head, don't bark, and be a good dog, and we'll throw you some crumbs, and you just remain quiet like that, and you do your thing, and they'll give us room to work. But if we want to establish Vedic civilization, it's a big struggle, no doubt. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to just be comfortably in a corner doing our own little thing. We're meant, this movement is meant to change the whole society and show people how they can live happily in this world with Krishna in the center. It's a massive task. And it might seem almost impossible to do. But that is the mandate given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And It may be as a tactic that we go. It might be that we, to some extent, we go along with this civilization, with this society, and it makes sense to do so in some ways. Just like we have permission to do Ratha Yatra, we have permission to do Harinams, and all this kind of thing. But at the same time, we shouldn't remain comfortably stuck in a little hole of being accepted by this demoniac society. And then we gradually adopt, you know, their education system and all that. And then it's a disaster. Because the education system is that by which they indoctrinate people in the first place. And so Srila Prabhupada, he wanted his own schools, teaching, what's in his books, not what's in someone else's books or the books of the demoniac society, and train people as brahmanas who could give direction to the society in such a way that they can be actually benefited. Which means that much change is required in society. And that's probably going to come around in many ways anyway, with the way society is going, because many of the things Srila Prabhupada said will come about anyway, but it may not come via our movement. Just like going back to the land and growing our own food may very well become a necessity. And apparently there's, so I'm told, there's quite a movement in America now of young people, well qualified, having good jobs, just moving to the land and living very simply, right, because they want to get out of the rat trap, rat race. And they're also seeing that in future, food's a problem, because it's very difficult to get. You can't get really fresh food in the city. It's not, unless you just grow a little watercress or something in your home. But actual fresh food means you have to take it immediately from the ground. And the food is all contaminated. And at any moment, the food supply can break down. Because the cities require daily influxes of huge amounts of food. And food is going to be a problem. It already is. In Russia last year, there was a drought, and two-thirds of the crop was lost. That's for the largest country in the world. And in America, there are all these storms, so the crops, America runs on corn. Apart from oil, it runs on corn. So the corn crop is all spoiled, and the food's going to be a problem. Already the prices, in India last year, just overnight, the price of dal went up from 25 rupees to 80 rupees a kilo. It came down to 70, now it's 70. It's just a massive increase, three times increase. It never came down. And the price of everything is there. We used to buy vegetables in paisa, 25 paisa a kilo. Now it's 40 rupees, 50 rupees. So food, and the Indian Prime Minister is in Africa, and the Ethiopian government said, come here and grow food. Already China has bought up so much land in Africa because they want to grow food there. Food is going to be an issue. They're going to war now over oil, and next it'll be over food. So many people are already seeing that, and they're moving back to the land to grow their own food, which is what Prabhupada told us to do. So if we don't do it, they're going to do it anyway. So, but Prabhupada gave us the chance to take the lead and show people that this is what we should do. We can live better like this. That you might not have electricity, TVs, electric lights, air conditioners, internet and all this kind of thing. But there are at least three massive material advantages that you'll never get in the city. Which is food that doesn't poison you, air that doesn't poison you, and water that doesn't poison you. With every breath, with every swallow of food or drink that you take, you're ingesting poison. And we wonder why there's so much cancer and so many other diseases. So Srila Prabhupada, he had that vision. Everything, Prabhupada is ahead of everything. No one, he said they didn't go to the moon. And it was it seemed like a wild statement. Now so many people believe that. Srila Prabhupada said this woman's liberation is a disaster for human society. Now at last some people are beginning to realize it, although the feminazis, don't dare to say that word, they try to crush any opposition to that. In so many of this, Prabhupada said to do these diorama exhibitions in every temple. We didn't do it, but the Swaminarayan people did, and it's been a tremendous success for promoting their bogus ideas. So many, Prabhupada had all the right ideas, and if we believe them and follow them, then this movement can be tremendously successful and not just a little something in the corner, as Prabhupada wanted it to be. So that's my thought for the day. In fact, that's what I think all the time. So I just had the opportunity with this purport to say something about that. So if there are now any questions, comments or protests, kindly lob them this way. Okay, and there's the first hand I saw up. It's first come, first served. You've always appreciated Srila Prabhupada giving us the information by which we can discriminate between what is demoniac and what is not. I'm just repeating for the sake of the recording, don't mind. In your 12 years in the temple, you've noticed there's very much an emphasis on protecting the devotees. By what was that adjective you used? Approach?
By protecting us from the material world.
Protecting us from the material world, yeah. You mean by overly stating the distinction or insulating us or what? Could you?
Yeah,
okay.
And then there's also been an emphasis on how devotees should operate with each other, etiquette, etc.
How devotees should operate with each other, Vaishnava etiquette, yeah.
But a lot less emphasis on the fact that we're an open border. We're supposed to be trying to interact with the wider world.
Yeah. What was that word?
Adversarial.
Yeah.
To move from that adversarial, which is now sort of quite drenched by understanding what demoniac means.
Right.
When I go onto the front line and then I go to shake hands with different people,
right.
My psyches, and I found listening to the devotees that while they talk about being nice to the gentlemen and the ladies to each other, meeting on that front line.
Okay, that's a very good point, yeah. Do you want me to comment on that? Or you've made a comment and I'll comment on that. You've found in the classes that a common theme is noting the distinction between devotees and demons. And another theme is how we should behave properly as devotees among ourselves. But you don't find much about how we should interact on the front line with people who we have to preach to. So that's a very good point. Thank you for that. And actually, of course, when we are moving in the world, we don't say, go to everyone and say, you're a demon. We don't do that. We should not do that. Definitely we shouldn't do that. But there should be some training, yeah, on how to deal with each other. Well, there is there to some extent, but there's training in book distribution.
Like that. An example of being drunk, and that, you know, you say what you're really in your heart.
What's really in your heart?
So you've got this facade of being a gentleman related to the outside world, and then somehow when it comes to preaching, it's a little bit heavy, it's a little bit pushy.
Well, you can study the example of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, Srila Prabhupada was quite clear that the modern society is all demons, but he also instructed us how to preach. Actually, I'll be releasing a book about this quite soon, giving several hundred quotes from Srila Prabhupada about how we should understand what our mission is in preaching. And Srila Prabhupada often said that you deal with them in a gentlemanly way, but you should understand that they are demons, actually. That doesn't mean you hate them, but you should, at the same time, you shouldn't be sucked into that social nicety, and then you start thinking, well, actually, they're not so bad. In some ways, not so bad, but then in another way, yeah, we do want to change them. It's not enough simply to shake hands and be nice with them. We do want to effect a change in them, which does also mean that we have to tell them also. It's we have to come to the point of telling them that what they are doing is not correct and show why that is. That's the challenge of preaching. It is a challenge, there's no doubt. And the basic activities of preaching are going out on Harinam and doing book distribution and mass prasad distribution, festivals like this. But when we meet people and they talk with us, we have to present Krishna and Krishna consciousness. To what level? It may be different in different exchanges. In many cases, it may not be that we try to, immediately when we meet people, try to change their everything and their way of thinking overnight, but give something, leave something. Yeah. Leave something means that we have the information. For instance, people often ask us, what do you believe? And then we can respond as Prabhupada, that well, we don't believe in just blind belief. Is not, there are certain facts of the universe which we have to accept, that there is birth, death, old age and disease. These are miserable. So that's a starting point. That in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't say, just believe me or you go to hell. It's not a belief system as such. But there are certain facts. There is birth, there is death, there is old age, there is disease. A child becomes a young man, becomes an old man, then he dies. The person's stays the same, although the body changes. So these are certain observable facts. The person stays the same, which suggests that the person is different from the body and stays even after the body dies. So in this we can preach as Srila Prabhupada preached. We shouldn't be afraid to do that. Yeah.
First of all, thank you very much for your excellent approach. I've got several questions, but just to...
Well, I'll be available afterward if you have time. But I, you know,
I'm particularly concerned about ISKCON general disdain for science and scientists. Science bashing and scientist bashing.
Well, ISKCON's disdain for science and science bashing comes from Srila Prabhupada, actually, because he saw that in the name of science, there's a lot of nonsense being propagated. And there are many scientists themselves who, you can get popular science books which shows the problem with science or scientism.
Okay. I think there's one point on which I think something has to be said, actually, because it is becoming rather boring, and this is to do with evolutionary theory.
Evolutionary theory is boring, I agree.
Darwin and Prabhupada,
but
actually both were right.
Darwin? No, he wasn't right. Prabhupada was right.
They're both right.
No, Darwin was wrong. No, I wouldn't like to hear you very much. No, Darwin was wrong. Because Darwin's...
The evolution of the body. He didn't recognize the soul or the Atma, as they call it.
Well...
Prabhupada was referring to the Atma, which is infinitesimal part of Brahma.
Darwin's idea that the species, in his book was called The Natural Evolution of the Species, by which he hypothesized, of course there's Darwinism and Neo-Darwinism and this and that, but his theory is developed into modern evolutionary theories that without any God in control, that from Neo-Darwinism, that from microorganism have developed the species as we know today, which is bogus.
This is a separate issue, whether this is all designed by God or...
Well, anyway, I think this is...
But demonstrably...
All right, okay. I tell you what, time's up, and probably most of the devotees here are not that much interested in what you're saying because they accept what Prabhupada says, which makes a lot of sense. So if you'd like to harangue me, you can do afterwards upstairs.
Well,
okay.
He's right.
All right. All right. And all I'm saying is Prabhupada is right and Darwin is wrong. Please read Life Comes from Life by Srila Prabhupada. Okay, you can make a presentation. We're having an impromptu book sale here. Well, it's all right. I've written a few books. Srila Prabhupada told me to write books. Some of them are available here. No, just read it. That's all right. You can just tell the name of the title.
So we've got the book table outside.
So I have to try and distribute them also. Otherwise, what's the point of writing them?
It's all outside of the table.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming to the class. Those of you who are coming, because you don't have to come, right? There are many other devotees living in the area who don't come. So it's a good propensity to come to the class, attend the class. I'm sure here in the Manu you get all different kinds of classes every day, right? Because you have people coming. It's all day. They hear it on the internet. Okay. So you can send your rotten tomatoes through the internet. They didn't work out how to do that yet. Okay. Well, Hari Bol to everyone, wherever you may be. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Radha Gokulananda, whose darshan I first had here 36 years ago. First gave me shelter here. Jai, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.